Where y'all been all week? Go ahead and be seated. Find Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I'll give you a hint. It's not under the E's. For those of you who are keeping tabs and would like to be a part, Brother Roger Pillmore's memorial will be a graveside in San Antonio on October the 6th at 10 a.m. It's on Culebra near 1604, so as you're heading in, as you're coming into San Antonio, you'll see a cutoff for 1604. Take it around to Culebra, and the office will possibly get some maps together so you have a map of exactly how to find it. It's the Resurrection Cemetery, which is a part of another cemetery. And if you want to look up the address, it's 11624 Culebra. And you can make plans if you'd like to be there for the memorial service for Roger's homegoing. Hard to believe that Roger and Nancy both have gone on. But we're going on. And we have the same promise he did of God's goodness and faithfulness and abiding love. As we come into Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to concentrate on verse 9, but we'll take 6 through 11. The Lord said something to me this afternoon. He said, saved means rescued, but born again means translated to another dimension. The Word of God says God has translated us out of the dominion of Satan and into the kingdom of his dear Son. You can be drowning in the ocean, and somebody can throw you a life preserver, and you're saved, but you're still in the ocean. And you don't have to worry about drowning now. You can spend all your attention on the sharks. Maybe an occasional barracuda. But when you are born again, it's a mind change, a spirit change, a lordship change. It's a dominion change. And God wants you to be blessed. It's good to see Todd here tonight after trying to stop a motor vehicle with his bare body. In Ephesians chapter 5, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these empty words, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. God has a special damnation for those who try to lead you astray. And in today's society, there are a whole lot of people trying to lead you astray, and some of them are in pulpits, or on radio or television. Join our church and you can do whatever you want to do. Just keep them cards and letters coming. No, God has a standard, and those who pervert that standard or try and convince you of some other untruth have a special damnation for them. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Make a vow to yourself. I want the truth and the truth only. It's the Word or nothing. Because the Word will never fail me. The Word will never disappoint me. And the Word will never leave me hanging. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. You were once children of darkness, but after being born again, you're children of light. I know that some people think I spend too much time talking about the difference between being saved and being born again, but too many people ask Jesus to forgive them their sins. They never made him Lord. They weren't completely translated out of darkness because they haven't accepted their new station in life. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. As a child of light, what should be the fruit that in the Gospels our Lord said, you'll know them by their fruit? What fruit should you be producing? Gossip, deception, lying, cheating? No, you should be producing goodness, righteousness, and truth. And you should be about the business of trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. If he is really Lord of your life, you want to be pleasing to him. When you go in to some things like military service, you may not like your top sergeant. You may not like your commanding officer. But there is a way you're going to dress. There's a way you're going to walk, a way you're going to talk, and there's a respect you're going to give them. And if you don't, there's a price to pay for it. Plus, you can't get promoted and advanced saluting with one finger. You've got to show your submission to the chain of command and to leadership. And in the kingdom of God, we can't thumb our nose at the Lord. We've got to show our submission to him and his chain of command, those he has set in office, and those he has called. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. We don't have a long, drawn-out sermon tonight, and I would be blessed if one of the ministers or more of the ministers had a point to bring home concerning the message or some portion of the message. But I want you to note, our Lord did not leave his mantle on one person, but he left it to all who would believe, but specifically to the 12 or 11 who followed him. The 12th was out of season, Paul, but the 12 was made up, even though Peter tried to elect a replacement. God didn't receive that, and he set Paul in as the 12th disciple. You might say our Lord established team ministry. He didn't go, here, Peter, here's my mantle. Here, Thomas, here's my mantle. No, he said to all of them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. Now, Some may have questioned, why is Pastor putting an emphasis right now on the young ministers of the church? Because my mantle will not pass to one person, but to all the ministers of this body, there'll be a peace, and the peace will be determined by what they have laid hold of. Sometimes we do not prayerfully consider what we're laying hold of, so we buy a suit like Billy Graham. Just kidding, Brother Ken. And we try and preach. But that means you're only considering his public pulpit. What about his prayer life? What about his commitment to God and to family? What about the things that give him the ability to have that boldness in the Lord? I am a teacher, pastor. There is a prophetic anointing on my life, but he didn't call me to be a prophet. He didn't call me to be an evangelist. He called me to teach his people faith. But the team being raised up in this church, God may have different emphases on them. Bring my people into my presence with praise and worship. Doesn't mean that's the only thing you can do, but that's a piece of the mantle, because until my vacation, God always used me in praise and worship, and I had ministries across the country that would ask me to lead praise and worship and bring the special music at their meetings and conferences and camp meetings and stuff. But that piece of my mantle is missing right now on me. But it's not missing from the church. Do you get what I'm saying? Brother Brian has a teaching anointing. Brother Kenneth has an anointing in Christian education. He studies to show himself approved unto God. Brother John has an evangelistic anointing, which you've only seen on me a few times, because God didn't call me to be an evangelist. But as I began to step back more and more, in November I'll be 71 years of age, and I've been at this ministry stuff for about 50 years, teaching, training, preaching, being an associate, being a pastor. You have proven yourself to be a people who have a great tolerance for pain, in that you put up with me for 37 years. But I've struggled to always bring a fresh word from the Lord. And as I was seeking the Lord, he took me to Ephesians 5:9. And he said that fruit is produced in disciples who've accepted the mantle of light, not people who are waiting for their chance and their opportunity to show what they can do. I've got a cartoon in my office of a guy on stage in a flashy suit with a microphone, and he's standing like this, and he says, "The song I'm about to sing has no particular scriptural or biblical meaning, but it's a great showcase for my voice." If you got to have a spotlight on you, if you got to have a bedazzled microphone with sequins all over it, if you've got to be announced. A few years ago, we had someone in the church who could never get to church on time. They would always be late sometimes all the way into the message before they got there. No, I'm not singling anybody out. Don't feel miffed because I'm mentioning this. But if she was asked to sing, she would be there early because she had to meet with the musicians, and she would be dressed, her hair would be done, her makeup would be on, which was not the case sometimes when she showed up late. And I would go, if the spotlight's on you, you can do it. That means you could do it the rest of the time, but you just won't do it. Now, please understand, if you have a work schedule that doesn't allow you to get here on time, I'm thankful that you got here. But that's not the habit. That's the occasion. But if you can be in the spotlight and you're a totally different person, I wonder, can God really use your special song? I want you to begin seeking God about your place on the team. There was a ball team that had an opening for a right fielder. And a guy tried out for right field, and he played right field for 2 seasons. And then one season, the pitcher sprang his arm during a game. And the coach said, can anybody here pitch to finish out the game? He said, I used to pitch. He went to the mound and had a no-hitter. The coach had a new pitcher. Now they were needing another right fielder. He was out of his position, but when the opportunity came, he rose to the position he really wanted to be in, but he was on the team in right field. He just wasn't on the bag. In the kingdom of God, you may have to serve in right field for a while until the opportunity to pitch comes up, or first base, or catcher, or whatever it is that your heart burns for. But if you've proven yourself faithful in the little things, God will make you ruler over much. I'm not talking to everybody in the congregation here that I'm expecting you on the team. God has set his hand on the ministers of this body. That's why if I'm out of town, and it could be Brother Damon or Brother Brian, Brother Ken, Brother John, Brother Richard, I know you're going to be fed. Each one will have their own style and delivery, and maybe not the way I would do it. But God didn't call them to do it the way I would do it. When he told me, teach my people faith, I didn't begin watching Brother Hagin and learn how to twiddle my thumbs and walk back and forth across the stage. I didn't watch Kenneth Copeland and learn how to hold my Bible in one hand while I'm preaching with the other. I just did what came naturally. And some people said, we need a more evangelistic delivery. Have you tried down the street? Because I can't be what God didn't call me to be. God didn't say, I'm calling you to be a house of fire. He said, I'm calling you to inculcate my people with the knowledge of faith, because if they have a knowledge of faith, there's no battle they can't win. And there are people in this body who have learned lessons on faith, who have gone through things they didn't think they ever could go through, but they won. Because having done all to stand, they make sure that their scriptural basis is correct, that they are doing what God has called them to, and then they just set their teeth like flint and stand. You're going to see more and more team ministry as the young ministers take over. But Pastor Jim, you're the pastor. What, God can only use one person? Now let me ask you a question. What if God wants to use you in some office or arena? Are you ready to step up? You may dig your heels in like I did, and for about a year, the Lord and I had many talks. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want a pulpit ministry. I'll carry the pastor's briefcase. I'll wash his car, mow his yard, and fight his deacons. But I don't want to be a pastor. So then God decided to start embarrassing me. And I was the associate pastor and music director in the local church. And it got to where every time we had a guest speaker or an evangelist or minister in, they would prophesy to me about pastoring. Finally, the pastor got so nervous I had to quit. God didn't call me to take over his church. He called me to pastor. And so I slipped quietly away, didn't make an announcement or fanfare. I told the pastor, I said, I'm going to John Osteen's Ministers Conference in November, and that's the last you'll see of me. I'm not going to cause a scene or make it hard for you, and you're the only one that'll know why I'm not here. I came on the scene slowly because Daddy God had to prove to me that he wanted me, because I didn't see me as pastor or teacher material. I'd taught for years, but the adult Bible class, the college careers class, filled in for the pastor when he was on vacation or in the hospital. But to stand up here and just do this thing? And there were times, only a few times, that nobody showed up on Wednesday night. And I did the songs and received the offering and went to the pulpit and preached a message. And when I got to the pulpit, I'd be praying, God, don't let anybody walk in now. They'll think I'm crazy preaching to an empty building. But he didn't say to me to preach if there's a good crowd. He said, be faithful about the task of teaching my people faith. And sometimes it's important that you just get the words out, because there's power in your words being released into Earth's atmosphere. That's why God is not real big on silent prayer. Brother Jim, I'm going to just offer a silent prayer. That was it. No, your words released into the atmosphere will change that situation. I got a call today, and someone had had a problem with a family member that needed deliverance. We prayed aloud and God did the work. Broke that captivity. I believe that our God can do anything. Yes, Brother Jim, I believe he can, but will he? if it aligns with the purpose for which his son came. I can't pray anything I want and then put the magic talisman on it, in Jesus' name. No, that doesn't mean anything. First of all, his name wasn't Jesus, and you're not in his name if you're praying your will. We pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Now you're in his name. That's submission to lordship. But a lot of people think they can just rip off anything they want, say in Jesus' name, and God has to do it. Well, let me see your batting average on that. It's probably pretty poor. Because he is not called to honor your word, he's called to honor his. And when his word becomes your word, you're in faith. You're in submission. And you're headed to the winner's circle. When you were born again, you were called out of darkness and into light. Some people who were saved try and see how close to hell they can live and still go to heaven. Well, Pastor, can I smoke and be a Christian? You can, but why would you want to be? Can I have a drink? You can, as long as the drinks don't have you. God doesn't get upset because you have a glass of wine. It's when you got to have two bottles. Because you're seeking something that you don't trust him to do for you. Well, it calms me. What? His word and presence doesn't? I had to deal with these things when I was first born again. I loved tobacco, and I had to get to that point of being willing to surrender and lay it down, and I was instantly delivered. And I was doing 3 packs a day. I smoked 2 packs of Camel filters and 1 pack of Salem menthol to keep my throat from being burnt. Right after I was born again, I went to visit some friends. And I walked in the door, and they put a vodka Collins in my hand. And I looked down, and I set the drink down, and I left and realized I can't hang with those folks anymore. They'll drag me down. Because I really wanted, I wanted that drink. But I wanted God more. So I set the drink down, and I never darkened their door again. They were too expensive for me to hang out with. But Pastor, I'm going to be a witness to them. Not if you're doing the same things they are. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the light, the fruit of the light, what should be being produced in your life is godliness. You should attempt to be as godlike as you can be. That doesn't mean you get you a gold throne and sit on it. That means you walk according to his word. Righteousness. Pastor Jim, what is righteousness? It's not saying I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't date girls who do. Righteousness simply means living in a way that would please your Lord. When I have people ask me about something, can I do this and still be a Christian? I go, can you do it and be pleasing to the Lord? And truth. That last thing is the one thing I want to concentrate on for a minute because it affects the other two. Once you make the decision, His truth, the New Testament, is my guide for living. It's my example of how to live. It's my example of what to say. It's my example of what to do. And if I live according to His precepts, godliness and righteousness will take care of themselves. But if I'm violating the Word, godliness and righteousness will soon fall away. I want you to begin seeking God as never before. Daddy God, what gifts and calling have you invested in me? Because everyone born of God has gifts and callings. But sometimes we're so busy living our life and we are more carnal Christians than we are deeply rooted Christians. Because we're so busy, we don't have time to be godly. But Pastor, I got a job, I got family, I got a career, I got hobbies. Oh, where is God in that lineup of your life choices? Sounds like He's pretty low in your choices. How can He be Lord and be under your golf swing? You notice I was very careful not to mention football games. But God has His hand on this body, and we weren't raised up to be just another church. And Daddy has been talking to me about the operation of the supernatural in our assemblies. That means God may move on you to, right in the middle of a service, get up and go over and lay your hands on someone and pray for them. That doesn't mean you have to get loud and unruly, draw everybody's attention to you. You can slip quietly over there, lay your hands on them, pray softly, not disturb a thing. Are you willing to step out if the Lord gives you a word? Well, Brother Jim, if it's a complete word and a full word, no, you're going to have to learn sometimes to start with a word. And when you speak that word, the rest of it will follow. But God wants your submission, not your full knowledge. Well, I want to know what this word means, who it's for, how it starts, how it ends. You probably won't be used of God because you want to be in control of that word. And instead of submitting to that word, you're wanting to use that word to reinforce your standing. In the beginning, there were times that God would give me a word, and I would speak that word, and the rest would begin to flow. But I had to be willing to speak out what He said to me. Sometimes it wouldn't just a word, it would be a line or a few words together, strung loosely, and I would speak those, and then there would be a flow that would take over. Because God, before He's looking to crown you in that area, He's looking for you to demonstrate your submission, your willingness to be used. Being used of the Spirit means being out of control. God wants everything done decently and in order, but His idea of decently and in order is totally different than ours. Pastor, what do you mean? Was the day of Pentecost decently and in order as God began to manifest Himself? From God's point of view, yes. 120 people speaking all different kinds of languages, getting loud and emotional, drawing a crowd, till thousands showed up to see what was going on. We would not call that an order. We probably wouldn't question the decency, but we would question the, well, that's not an order. They should be just praying one at a time. If God does something, you get with the program, not with your biases. But Pastor Jim, I was raised. You got to forget how you were raised, because you got a new daddy. Amen. And your new daddy does something differently. In the coming months, you're going to begin seeing demonstrations of the Holy Spirit as people yield. I want you to be willing to let people fail. Pastor Jim, what do you mean? Not everybody's going to be eloquent in the beginning. They'll have stammering lips and their tongue may get a little confused. But you see, they're learning to walk down a new road. There used to be a song the Galileans sang. Oh, Lord, I need your hand to guide me as I travel this way. And then he asked God to lead him and guide him, for I've never passed this way before. But after you've stammered and stuttered a few times, you find something beginning to happen. Boldness. In the last 37 years, you've heard me stand before you so many times through the years and tell you things that nobody else was talking about. In 06, I told you, get liquid because the economy is going to have a downturn in 08. I didn't hear anybody else talking about that. But God said it and I said it. One service, the Lord said, buy copper. I said, God just said, buy copper. And some of our people invested in copper, made more on that than any of their other investments. Other people said, let's see what happens to copper. Once you see what happens to copper, it's too late to be blessed. I told you when there were 17 candidates for president that God said, Donald John Trump will be president. Now people are calling saying, do you think they're really going to impeach him? No, because God said he would be a two-term president. I'm not worried about the next presidential election. I'm excited about it. Why? I already know the outcome. But Pastor, Mr. Trump's, he's not really one of us. No, but he's so far ahead of what else is available that maybe God's going to take us there and then someplace closer to his will and plan and purpose and then somewhere closer. It may take a few presidents to turn this nation around. But if the people are praying for Donald Trump, he's going to do a lot of the turning himself. Why? He's on a mission from God. What the news doesn't tell you is how many prayer meetings he's had with ministers and church leaders from across the nation before and since he became president. Regularly he invites ministers into the White House and they have prayer for our nation and for him to be the man God wants him to be. And sometimes those prayer meetings go for an hour and a half and Donald Trump prays with them. Most of the other people running for office don't have any idea how to pray or the value of prayer. But he's bringing together some of the great leaders, pastors, and evangelists of our nation on a regular basis to pray with him and to pray for the nation. I've been invited a few times, but thus far I've not gotten the release to go. But I would like to. I'd like to hang out at the White House and be involved in an extended prayer meeting with the president. He asked them to lay hands on him and pray for him. And he sits at his desk and receives it as they lay hands on him and pray for him. But the news won't tell you that. They'll tell you how evil, how ugly all that is. But you see, when there were 17 candidates on the Republican side, God said, and so I told you, God said, and we had some people that left the church. We had some people that got mad and quit and came back and quit and came back because they wanted somebody else to be president. But David wasn't a perfect man, but God still made him king. Solomon wasn't a perfect man. Samson sure wasn't a perfect man, but God used imperfect vessels. What are you saying, Pastor Jim? I've come around the bush and snuck up on you to say, you don't have to be perfect to be used of God. He knows the flaws there are in your vessel. He knows the question marks there are in your character. But if you'll yield, he can move beyond that. I'm talking about becoming a supernatural assembly. Can you see that happening? Can you pray for it to come into full manifestation? So that God uses and moves through the vessels he wants, and we don't question what he's doing. We wait to try the Spirit to see if it be of God. Because even when we don't like what they're saying, if it's the Holy Spirit, we've got to receive from what was brought forth. But I think God could have used somebody else a little better. Well, that's your thought. If God thought he could, he would have used them. But sometimes God has a bigger purpose in using you than you. Because somebody else in the assembly needs to see a vessel that's less than super Christian being used, so they can accept the fact they can be used. So, Pastor, how do we pray? Daddy God, I lift House of the Lord before you and all of its people. And I decree that House of the Lord is a supernatural assembly, moving in the miraculous and the supernatural, that miracles and signs and wonders flow in every assembly, and that the people rise up in boldness to pursue your will and to do your bidding. Begin praying like that. And watch what God does to this body. And then you say, here am I, Lord, send me. A pastor can leave that part off in the beginning, but after a while, as you see God using other people, you'll get on the bandwagon. Yo, Lord, I'm your boy right here. Dump some of that anointing on me. There may be times that God calls you to just get on your face and pray. You've heard me tell the story of being in an assembly. I wasn't the pastor. I was wearing a beautiful new brown suit with purple threads from Herald in the Heights in Houston, and I thought I looked pretty good. My shirt was handmade, and I'm styling. And God said, get up and prostrate yourself before the pulpit. That church had the pulpit up there, and began to cry out to me. I said, hello, anybody there? No. I questioned him about it for a minute, and then I got up. I didn't cause a stir and, preacher, hold on, the Lord has spoken. No, I just got up and quietly went down to the front, dropped to my knees and fell on my face and lay there prostrate. That night there were miracles like I have never seen in a local church assembly. Supernatural manifestation of God. A woman that had a steel rod and where her leg used to be from her hip down to her foot, she had a steel rod and she couldn't bend it. While I was praying, she got up, came to the altar, and knelt down to pray, and her family about went crazy because they all knew she's got a steel rod in her leg. She can't bend her leg. But she did. After I'd prayed for a season, as I got up, I looked into the corners of the church. People were standing in the corners of the auditorium, standing into the corner praying. After church, one of them told me, after you got up, the Lord said to me, go stand in that corner and pray. And something happened to me while I was praying. I got up and I was walking around the church, still praying, and as I got to the back, somebody came in. Somebody that had lived a hellacious life, and his wife had been praying for him to get saved. He walked in. And I turned to greet him, and he said, would you pray with me? And I walked him to the altar, and he asked God to forgive him and receive the Lord. He said, I was just driving down the street, and something came over me and said, get to that church now. So he put his cigar in his ashtray and came in and walked to the altar. Because God said to me, get up and walk around. And I met him at the back as I was rounding the back of the church. You never know what God's going to do. One night at John Osteen's, a little 7-year-old kid said, Mommy, I think the Lord wants me to go lay hands on that person over there and pray. And the mother said, then do it. The little kid got up and went over, came up behind him and just put his hands on them, began to pray, and they were instantly healed. And a child shall lead them. Begin preparing your mind and your heart. I am a part of a supernatural body of believers, and we will no longer have church as usual. We'll be the called of the Lord. If we will give ourselves to prayer, our assemblies will be filled with miracles and signs and wonders. God will speak through his people and do mighty signs. Before I wrap up, do one of the ministers have something? Don't let your commitment just be while Pastor was speaking. In your prayer closet, in your time before the Lord, when you're driving down the street, just pray in tongues and go, God, I'm lifting the house of the Lord before you, and I'm believing you for a supernatural body of believers, the like of which our city and our nation have never seen before. When the people travail, God prevails. If no one has anything, I've given what God put in my heart. I don't have any notes left, so it must be time to close. Press in, church. We're going to see this thing changed. We're going to see God's glory abound. And we're going to see the minister of this body used as never before. Daddy, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your word and for the change you're making in all of us. Father, I do lift this assembly before you and every assembly of House of the Lord. And I decree we are a supernatural church flowing in supernatural anointing, doing supernatural deeds, and seeing the hand of God made fully manifest. Father, I thank you for miracles and signs and wonders, for the gifts of the Spirit being in operation. And I pray that every member of this body come to understand the gift that God has placed in them through their salvation. And now they'll walk in the newness of their new birth and pursue your will and demonstrate your glory. And the people said, well, get yourself on out of here.